I think something that I took away from it is that I have more healing work of my own to do, and to be patient with myself and other people that are around me, and to be more gentle in how I do things. Something that I just keep noticing about people who I really admire and look up to is that they're the most gentle, kind, caring, and compassionate people. And I did a journal exercise a couple days ago, and I had to think about, you know, three people who I look up to, and wrote down all of the qualities that they have. And it really made me think a lot about, you know, who I listen to, who I look up to, and how I want to be, and what are some of those things I want to take away from them. So the webinar has really grounded me in kind of our cultural values. And something that I also thought about is that the way that we think about culture, like, you might not have a ceremony right beside you or accessible to you, but we do have our own value system. And if we can keep that a part of our lives, we're still Indigenous.
Oh, thank you. I really want to thank you for picking up the teachings that were laid at your feet. You know, because that's, you know, that the biggest part of communication to be effective at it is to be a good listener. People think it's talking and stuff, but when you're a good listener, you're absorbing the teachings that come to you. Then you can reflect them out to the world after. You know, so I want to thank you for that, Bianca. It's so nice to see you today and to hear your voice. We'll move on to Harley.
Hi, good morning. My name is Harley K. MacArthur. I'm from Wiper First Nation in Southeast Saskatchewan. I'm Cree and Assiniboine on my dad's side, and Scottish and Irish on my mom's side. So we, in putting together the webinar series, Promoting Resiliency, Grounding Our Health in Indigenous Ways of Self-Care, I'm not from the island. So what I was thinking at the beginning is, like, I love to listen to people, and I love to just connect and talk. And so for me, it was, you know, I just want to build relationships with people. And that's what it's been so far. And it's been a really beautiful experience. And again, for me to just be able to listen. And I think what I've taken away from it the most is, you know, what the elders and knowledge keepers have shared is not new information. It's not, it's stuff that Indigenous people have known forever. So we're not inventing the wheel. We're just reawakening it and trying to bring it alive again. And so I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, at the beginning of this pandemic, I think just in very materialistic world we live in, I was feeling like a lot of lack, that I was lacking a lot of things. And that, you know, I started to think about, like, what these things that Indigenous people say, like, all my relations, and in a good way, like, what do those things actually mean, and how are they practiced? And so, you know, we're in a pandemic, I've spent a lot of time by myself and just thinking, and, you know, I realized that I am very rich in the relationships that I have. You know, having this webinar and being able to connect with people has just reinforced that. And it's really just kind of just made me think differently in how I see like what I think about a good life is, and what I think of wealth is. And it's in my relationships with, you know, with people, but also the land. And so that's been my favorite part of it, is just kind of learning or re-remembering these parts that we have forgotten. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Harley. Marco.
Well, thank you very much, Jerry, for inviting us on your podcast. It's been great getting to meet you over the last couple of weeks, and it was really awesome to have you on our podcast as well, on our webinar series, so thank you so much for that. So I'll introduce myself. My name is Marco Caffiero. I am the South Island Health and Wellness Coordinator for the Capay Wellness Team. My background is my mother's Anishinaabe, with European ancestry as well, and my father is from Chile. So I've been born and raised here in Victoria, BC, raised by a single mother. My Anishinaabe side, my family comes from Rainy River First Nation in Emo, Ontario, and I've pretty much spent my entire life over here in Victoria. I'm very blessed to be learning and playing on these lands in this territory here, so it's been great. A little bit more about myself. So as I think Bianca had mentioned before, I've kind of been using my talents for our team as well. I really have a passion for fitness and martial arts. So this whole theme in my life has always been around movement, and kind of always falling back to movement. And then when I'm at my healthiest and my best and I'm my happiest, I'm always doing something active. I'm always, you know, getting myself out there, going to the gym, training, standing on my hands, doing backflips. It's something that I've always kind of come to. This past year was doing fitness classes for a couple different nations on the South Island here, which were awesome. Started a youth kickboxing program in Sartlip First Nation. And that was the one thing that we had going on with Capay Wellness, was we were able to do in-person things. Once pandemic hit, we were like, oh my God, like what, we can't even go in a community. What are we going to do? And so teaming up with Larissa, having Bianca's knowledge and having Harley on the team has been absolutely amazing. We've been able to put together these webinars and they've been really successful. And that has been something that's been so awesome, is just to be able to listen, to sit on these webinars. I mean, we've had the webinars that we've had is we've had a food is medicine, a canning workshop, traditional medicines for herbs and lung health, for your immune system, respecting tobacco, learning to quit commercial tobacco, indigenous harm reduction, and then we have our last one that's going to be resiliency through physical activity. And so putting these webinars together and being able to promote this, it's really feel-good work. It's something that I think is important, especially in a time like today when a lot of people's mental health is being tested by the pandemic. So being able to put out this kind of work and being able to sit in on this has been really, I've been really grateful for this opportunity. I've been really grateful to be able to use my skills and my talents towards all this. And then the one thing I was thinking about when getting asked to be on your podcast was, I was thinking, it was like, what does it mean to be resilient for myself? It was a question I kept asking myself over. And for me, it's for a person to being able to, I think, to use their talents and their skill set and what they have, and to be able to give back to your community. I think that's very important. And then reclaiming your identity as well, because I'm a person that didn't grow up in my home nation. I grew up in Victoria here. And so I feel sometimes very disconnected from where my family's actually from in Rainy River, because I didn't grow up around all my cousins. I didn't grow up around most of my teachings, though I did have some, you know, at a young age. So really reclaiming your identity is resilient. You know, you can go out and speak with your elders, learn about your ceremonies, learning your language. And so that is something that I still carry with me today, and that I still want to go back home and learn more about myself and reclaim my identity. And yeah, so anyways, I'm just really grateful to be a part of your podcast. Really grateful that you invited us on. I'm really grateful to be a part of such an awesome team with Harley, Larissa, and Bianca. So, Miigwech, thank you very much.
Thank you. You know, I listened to all of you and reaffirmed on your, like I called you precious, that you're precious to the people. You know, to be resilient yourself. It's so good to visit with you because it brings up these beautiful memories for me. I started out by telling how we got lost. My language say, I'm lost because I don't feel there's anything for me. But we have our way of life that still exists in the minds of people, in the bodies of people, in the spirit of people. That we still have that. And because we're taught to be generous, we share. When I look at Bianca, she shared with the three of you. She shared with me. I thanked her for absorbing the teachings because you're an example of resilience in using what works. Who will work? You've gathered your team, Bianca, to do this and that. And you're part of Mother Earth and Vancouver Island. And it shows that we reach out for help. We don't be shy to do that. Our people would say, don't be backwards. You know, reach out for help. You know, and do your best. And I see you. Four of you doing that. And I'm always ever so grateful for people that do that. Because my biggest concern is the youngsters. Are they going to hear these teachings about food, about exercise, taking care of the human body, about the danger in life like tobacco? It can be dangerous. You know, where are they going to hear it from? And you're doing that. You're finding people. Like you're talking to Robin and myself about lung medicine, which is important, especially around pandemic, because that sickness attacks the lungs big time. I had a ceremony on Sunday, and it was a message that came to me. That we must all use that the lung medicine in our household. Boil it in the stove, let it simmer there all day long. Mull in alder bark, devil's club, cedar. I was thinking people can just have that in their house every day. It'll help the immune system for their lungs. And plus, tell everyone, our people survived before the pandemics because they listened to the ones that know the dangers of this virus that's here now in North America, all over the world. That's why they call it a pandemic. Every human being on Earth is susceptible to this. So I just like to, I always finish off with whenever I have sessions on Zoom or circles with people, I say, we'll finish off with an I statement. And I'm going to ask you to give an I statement. That I statements are actually affirmations. But part of this, you could be thanking someone that kept you grounded in culture or connected to culture. You can do that now and it'll go through the air. Even if they're in the spirit world. And I'm going to start off, I want to thank this elder, Sam Mitchell. He was the last one in my area born in a traditional underground dwelling. And I went to live with him. And he noticed one day, he'd tell me stories every night after supper. He was resilient. The priest actually called him the devil because he refused to become a Christian. So I went to live with him. And he noticed that sometimes I walk around like there's a dark cloud over me. And I was imploding, like I say, an explode or implode. And I was feeling bad because we're losing our traditional music and our ceremonies. Felt like that to me. And he told me, everything you know, Jerry, comes through the air. You hear it, you see it, you feel it, you taste it, you smell it. Everything you know in life comes through the air. He says there's music in the air, in the wind, in the sound of the water, in the animals and the birds. Like I got a song from the hummingbird, so I know that's true. He says you need to listen. You meditate. And you ask for it and it'll come to you. So I want to thank him because he helped me to be resilient. Helped me to stay connected to our way of life. So we're going to go backwards this time. We're going to go with Marco first.
Okay. I want to thank three people, three of the biggest influences in my life. The first being my mother. Without my mother, I wouldn't be here. She's the first one who put me into Kapalata. She's the first. She's always had my back. She raised me. Like I said, I didn't grow up without my father. I grew up without my father, so it was all my mom. She was mom and dad, and she means a lot to me. And the second would be my Kapalata teacher, Mestre Andutesta, who I thank every day for showing me the art form and for guiding me and for taking me around the world with him and bringing me to all sorts of competitions and opening new doors for me. And then the third is Cassius Sebuniana, who's I also met through Capoeira, and he's like a big brother to me, a father figure in my life, and somebody that's always been there for me when I need somebody on my good times and my bad times. So those three people, my mother, my teacher, and my big bro.
Okay, and then an I statement, what you're going to do now.
What am I going to do now? I'm going to make a bigger breakfast for me and my son.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Marco. Okay, Harley.
I want to thank my late grandma, Betty MacArthur. My grandma was like the perfect combination of gentle and very maternal and loving, but also very very stern and honest when she needed to be. And I think in my day-to-day life, trying to navigate the world as a young woman, I really try and keep that gentleness and that kindness even when it's really hard. And, she was someone that taught me that being vulnerable is not a weakness. And, I don't think I would be in this position today if I wasn't vulnerable, because, it's freed me of a lot of negative emotions. And, she reminds me to be present and be vulnerable, but to also make sure that I am being honest, and when I say no, that I mean it, and to really stick up for myself and my family. So I want to thank my grandma.
Okay, thank you, Bianca.
Yeah, I'm really thankful for the people who brought in the knowledge of traditional foods and medicines, because that has grounded me so much. And so Cheryl Bryce, who's from Lekwungen Territories, taught me how to do a traditional pit cook and shared a lot about Kla'o or Kwetlau, which is Camas. And I'm really grateful for all of those teachings that she shared with me. I look up to her as a mentor. And the other person that has done that for me is my mom, Myrna Crosley. And she is a person that thinks she doesn't have culture, but every day she teaches me something new, and she just knows so much about plant medicine, and she doesn't even realize it, which is wild, and I hope one day she values her own knowledge. But those two people have really grounded me in my life and have gifted knowledge with me that I try to use every day. And so, yeah, definitely grateful for them. And in eye treatment, I think I'd like to go outside. I haven't been outside enough this week.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Larissa.
I just want to say thank you to you, Jerry, and to Harley and Bianca and Marco for all the great work that all of you do and continue to do in community. I also want to say thank you to everybody who's been part of the webinar and everybody who attended. And I believe that everyone can make the changes that will lead us to more healing. And I believe that we can be good visitors on Mother Earth. And I believe anyone, you know, can uplift Indigenous ways of being and heal and support Indigenous people, no matter where they're from, where they've been. We can walk in a good way and do this great work that is ultimately going to save us all and help us all to be closer to nature and to really love ourselves. And, you know, what Harley said about her grandma, I want to say, you know, I'm grateful to my grandma because she was the first person to tell me that I was precious. And I think we can, and I really appreciate it today. I got a bit teary, Jerry, when you said that you are precious, you know, because I don't think we share that message enough. And I think it is the one thing that has kept me resilient was my grandma's voice saying, you are special, you know, and we need to share that message in the air to everybody, that everybody's special and everybody can contribute to a better way of living and we can all heal. Yeah. Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, I'd like to thank my special guests today on Teachings in the Air on Resilience. And I'm looking at people that are very resilient. And I'm thankful for you. And I encourage you to carry on with the wonderful work that you do and to take care of yourself. And one day you will be elders. And people will come looking for you. And you remember that this old man said, we're never alone. Never, ever. I was told this by elders. I was feeling alone. And they said, your ancestors are always around. You're never alone. And remember that we're all one. That's literally with everything. We're connected to everything. We all need each other. So I agree with Larissa that the Indigenous peoples on Turtle Island have a lot to share on how to develop relationships with other human beings and other life forms so that the life will be sustainable. That means it never ends. There will always be salmon, moose, cockles, clamshell, clams, you know, all of our wonderful foods. That they'll always be there, and we must work together to do that. It's our responsibility. All the babies in the world are relying on us to act sensibly as adults, as elders, to be the voice of reason. And to be resilient. Don't give up just because there's a couple of angry people in the room. Keep going. You know, my late mother, and I was talking to her about some angry people in our community. And she says, son, you know, there are people like that. She says, there's some people so mean. They got nobody to bite, they'll bite themselves. And I says, oh. I says, oh, okay. She says, they're probably good people. There's good people inside that angry person. They must deal with that anger, not carry it around, because we can feel it. So she says, telling me to accept that those people are out there, but to stay true to our path. and being here for the people, and being here for Mother Earth and all of the inhabitants of Mother Earth. So I want to thank you for triggering wonderful thoughts and memories for me around resilience. I wish you the best of luck in your Hepe wellness promotion and work that you do. And I know that I could probably talk to you again on different topics and things. I want to do something on fitness. So, holy cow, we train people to be master canoe people. That's being fit. Hunters, berry pickers, you know. We had it all picking. I was picking cedar bark with Nuchanas people, you know, on the west coast of Vancouver Island. They're talking to the cedar tree. Don't take too much. And I was helping them separate it after. So generous. You know, so generous. And it's important we carry that generous about how to take care of Mother Earth, how to respect Mother Earth, how to respect ourselves and respect each other. So we have a good life. So I'd like to thank you again.
Out there, if you really want to know the truth, all you have to do is.
We can find them if we want to. Want to.
Everything is out there if you really want to know the truth.
But why does the Indian Act not have power over us, though? What do you mean by that when you said that?
Because it was never given the authority to have power over us. It just made them believe that it has the power.
Bare my teeth, cut my braids. Bennett Benny's bringing me low. Bringing me low.
More interested in self-gain. Authority to have power over us. They just made them believe that it has the power.